Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTÉ Radio 1.
Hello again. We're going to turn our attention briefly to the US elections because voters in the US go to the polls on the 5th of November to elect their next president. The election was initially a rematch of 2020, but it was upended, of course, in July when President Joe Biden ended his campaign and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. The big question now is, will America get its first woman president or a second term of Donald Trump? Well, who better to answer that than Kimberly Adams, Marketplace senior Washington correspondent and co-host of the Marketplace podcast, Make Me Smart. She's on the line now. Good afternoon to you, Kimberly.
Well, it's morning here. Good afternoon to you.
Well, thanks very much for joining us. The polls at this stage show that it's neck and neck. The two candidates are busy in the swing states. What are they hoping to achieve there?
They're both giving their closing messages. On Harris's side, she's really focusing on turnout and trying to persuade any of these swing voters who might be ready to possibly move past Trump. She's really targeting, say, suburban women voters, young voters, people who maybe are voting for the first time. Trump, on the other hand, is trying to galvanize his base, also really focusing on voter turnout, but of his established fans and the people who are definitely on his side. And those messages are very different, but they've been hammering them in on the campaign trail.
So Donald Trump is chasing some demographics who hadn't really supported him last time. He's made some marginal gains amongst African Americans and Hispanics. Is Kamala Harris hoping to offset some of her losses on that front with gaining more women who opted for the Republicans last time?
That's exactly right. And also, Donald Trump got into a bit of trouble this past week with some of those Hispanic and Latino voters when at one of his rallies, one of the comedians who spoke referred to Puerto Rico as a floating, you know, island of garbage. And that has really alienated a lot of those Hispanic voters that Trump is really trying to pull over. And yes, he has made some inroads with young men, particularly African-American men. It's kind of at the margins, but in a race this close, any swing in any of these groups could make a difference.
Does class account for some of that? Joe Biden often emphasized his working class background. Is Kamala Harris less effective in appealing to that part of the electorate who would have voted Democrat in the past?
Yeah, Harris is really struggling with some of those blue collar workers that Trump really appeals to, particularly the men. This is very evident when you look at the union support. Harris has done a good job getting union leaders to endorse her, although not some of the very big unions. One of the very big unions chose not to make an endorsement at all this year. But rank and file union members, especially in the manufacturing industry, are often leaning more towards Trump. And that has been a challenging area for Harris that was a little bit easier for Biden, who has a long history going back with the unions.
So what will woo those voters? Is it onshoring American manufacturing? Is it, you know, just making positive noises about the economy? Or is it a robust campaign that's simply just more entertaining?
It's hard to say. If you ask voters in the United States, they will always tell you that the economy is the top issue. A lot of people are still reeling from the high inflation that we experienced over the last couple of years, which has eased up quite a bit. But even though people are very quick to say the economy, often when you dig in, and I've seen this in interviews that I've done with dozens, if not hundreds of people over the course of this campaign, it's really about the candidates themselves, whether or not they like Trump. And I think that the people who are big Trump supporters, even if they give economic reasoning, a lot of time it comes down to the fact that they like his personality, how he talks, what he has to say, or that they really just don't trust the Democrats. And that's hard to make an economic argument against.
And for Arab and Muslim Americans in the key swing state of Michigan, it seems the dilemma is not between Trump and Harris, but rather between reluctantly plumping for Harris or just not voting at all.
Right. And this is a big issue for the Harris campaign in a very crucial swing state. The latest polling still has Harris slightly ahead in Michigan. Of course, all of these polls are within the margin of error in every single one of these swing states. But there is intense anger, not just among Arab and Muslim Americans, but also among a lot of young people in Michigan and elsewhere over the war in Gaza and the United States' role in it. And it is going to be a big issue at a lot of Harris rallies and events. You're seeing protesters speaking out against the war in Gaza and the United States continuing to fund Israel in this conflict. And it's a big moral issue for so many Americans about whether or not they can continue to support a candidate that is actively involved in what many here in the United States consider to be war crimes.
And what else is up for grabs on Tuesday, Kimberly? The House and the Senate, what's in the balance there?
This is actually a big part of the race. I know the presidential election gets all the attention, but control of the House and the Senate will dictate in many ways what the eventual president can and cannot get done. Every single seat in the House of Representatives is up. House of Representatives is up for grabs, but only about maybe like one in 10 of them, about 43 seats, are actually competitive. And the Republicans have an incredibly slim majority in the House, so that could move in either direction. The Senate looks a little bit more positive for Republicans to potentially take control from the Democrats, and that would have a major effect on, say, what kind of judges get confirmed in. And that's a big deal here in the United States. And also in many states, there are ballot initiatives where the citizens of the states have gotten petitions together to put issues on the ballot to vote in November on issues like abortion, voting rights, legalization of marijuana. So a lot of people are voting on some pretty key issues on Tuesday.
And finally, Kimberly, then the result when it comes in, will it be accepted? And is that creating some nervousness?
There's a ton of nervousness about how well people will accept the results of the elections. There's a ton of misinformation floating around, some of it being actively pushed by former President Trump about the security of the election and whether or not people are legally voting in the election. Election officials have, you know, been going out of their way to let people know what they're doing to make sure the election is safe and secure. But we've already seen targeted misinformation campaigns, much of it coming from Russia, trying to convince people on social media that there's election fraud actively happening. And so there are already narratives going around that, you know, the election outcome can't be trusted unless one particular candidate wins. And there's only so much, you know, we can do to get ahead of that, but there's a lot of concern that there will be potential violence on election day, that there will be potential violence after. We will definitely have legal challenges. Some of them have already started, and so it's going to be an adventure after the polls close.
All right, Kimberly, thanks very much for getting up early to talk to us there. Kimberly Adams, that's a Marketplace senior Washington correspondent and co-host of the Marketplace podcast, Make Me Smart, who joined us on the line. Now, still with us in studio are Joe O'Brien, who is Minister of State for Community Development, Integration and Charities, Ivana Bacik, Labour leader and TD for Dublin Bay South, and Matt Carthy, Sinn Féin TD for Cavan Monaghan and his party spokesperson on foreign affairs and defence. Matt Carthy, first of all, to you, the outcome of the American election, it'll affect Ireland in certain areas. Foreign policy is one of them. Who wins and Ireland's support for the Palestinian people in particular, this election will affect that.
Yes, and if I had an idea as to who was going to win, I'd be on Paddy Power rather than in the RTE studios right now, because it is very close to call. And I think, you know, most Irish people instinctively would have a connection with the Democratic Party, certainly would not like the prospect of a second Trump presidency. But any potential enthusiasm for that position has been waned by the position of the Biden administration in respect of Israel's actions in Palestine. And, you know, I think what is clear from both parties in the States is that they intend to continue arming Israel allowing Israel to essentially act with impunity. And that will be the case for the United States and for other powerful Western states until such stage as the rest of the international community makes a stand. And so I would argue, in terms of Ireland's position on foreign policy, the more important election is going to be taking place in this state. And it is incredibly disappointing that the government didn't take the opportunity that was provided by Sinn Féin and Labour and Sock Dems, I think others, to use opposition private members' time to actually advance the Occupied Territories Bill, for example, this week. So essentially we've after gone through an entire Dáil term, 4.5 years, where two of the three parties of government that actually included commitment to that bill in their manifesto, we've gone through countless gross violations of international law by Israel, and we've gone through an actual genocide right. that is still unfolding, and not a single sanction against Israel has actually been put in place by this government. So I would say, yes, we all look at what's happening in the United States again, that they have taken the position, but we also have to look a bit closer to home.
All right, Joe Brennan, I'll get you to respond to what Matt Carty said there, but I suppose the last time Donald Trump was in power, the US defunded UNRWA and Ireland ended up having to make up some of the deficit and the shortfall. So it is a margin call, but do you A, have any preference, and B, want to respond to what Matt Carty said there?
Well, I have a preference for sure. Some of the things that Trump has said in the last couple of weeks, I mean, it just goes lower and lower, and boggles the mind as to how that's even seen as acceptable from any proportion of the population over there. And I think America is not the country we thought it was when we see the level of support that he's getting. And I would be extremely worried about the position of international human rights institutions if Trump gets in. He's already done a lot of damage to them that they're recovering from. I'm not sure where to start on Matt's inaccurate comments in terms of what this government has done for Palestine over the last few years.
Have you passed the Occupied Territories Bill, for example?
I'll answer that question.
Have you imposed a single sanction against Israel?
Okay, let's Joe O'Brien answer the question.
Yes. So, obviously, we've backed UNRWA very, very significantly. We've facilitated the recognition of the Palestinian state as well. It's actually my personal preference that we try to pass the Occupied Territories Bill next week, and I would be very open to a change of mind that would facilitate that getting done next week.
Well, that's good, because with Green Party votes, there will be a Dáil majority to do so. So I look forward to your vote on Tuesday.
I think we should try to do that if we can. The proviso that I would state, and it's very important here as well, the sponsor of this bill, Frances Black, she's quite happy to see it having getting to committee stage. It's very significant that it's getting to committee stage. This bill will be picked up again. If we don't get it passed and done next week, the bill will be picked up again. There's cross-party support. But
your personal preference is that it would be voted on next week and passed.
My personal preference is that if we can get it done properly, we should get it done as soon as possible.
And what
now,
do you mean
the
by
important this is the important point, because this bill, when it's passed, will get challenged left, right and centre. And we as a government have to be prepared for that battle. So if we can get it done, if we can get it done properly, we should do it as soon as possible. And I would be open to getting it done next week if we can do it and make it secure and make it solid and against challenges. And I hope Ivana, with her legal background, will understand that this will get challenged. So we need to be able to defend it.
Well, we do have time to pass the Occupied Territories Bill next week. We co-sponsored it in the Labour Party with Frances Black and the Shannon. And just to pay tribute to Frances and her absolute persistence in pushing this to the point where we are at the cusp of passing it. And it can be done. I mean, I'm encouraged to hear Joe's comments.
Do you accept anybody saying about the difficulties in trying to waterproof it against challenges?
I think the government have had plenty of time to do that. I think what we've been hearing increase in the last few weeks from government, from all government parties, has been that the ICJ advisory opinion has given them a way to pass the bill. I think I understand the amendments are drafted. It's due to go to committee stage. I met with Frances last week on this. We want to push for it not just to go through committee stage, but then also to go through report stage. There's only two stages left in the Dáil, and it should go through those. We in the opposition, across the opposition, will facilitate that passage. We do want to see it become law. Let's see it put into law. There's been enough time on this, and we know just how vitally important it is as we watch the carnage in Gaza continue, and also now in Lebanon, and Israel continuing to act with impunity. And I think listening to the report of Kimberly from the US, it's clear that the awful, awful atrocities we're witnessing in Gaza and in Lebanon, Israel's actions, that this is cutting through in the US election.
I do want to go back to Joe Brennan. Do you know if your position that, you know, your preference for this to be passed next week. And they thought, if that's how widely that's shared within the Green Party and how the vote might go if it came to it.
I think we'd all like to see it done properly. And I would be open to having more time if it needs more than next week. I don't mind waiting longer. I would like to see it done.
Ideally. Well, there's an we offered to sit this week as well, and unfortunately, yes, the government didn't take that up. All of us. I mean,
and throughout the past 4.5 years, so there's the Occupied Territories Bill, and we've what is a new excuse. There's also the illegal Israeli Settlements Divestment Bill that would prevent Irish taxpayers' money from being invested in companies that are profiting from the illegal occupation of settlements. There's no legal imperative. The only imperative that being passed is government are actually blocking it. We could stop the export of dual use items from Ireland to Israeli companies that could have a potential military use. There are a million different things that we could do.
Very briefly,
the truth
Joe
of the
Brown,
matter is that this government hasn't taken a single sanction against Israel, and the parties of this government cannot be trusted.
I mean,
to do
just
so
on the last very point, briefly, it's actually, very it's, of course, it's incorrect in terms of sanctions that have happened at EU level in relation to settlers as well.
I would say that the Irish government
ultimately what needs to happen here is that the
accused me of telling a mistruth. So, what is the sanction that the Irish government has imposed?
Settlers
against Israel, against the state of Israel.
Okay.
Name it.
The sanctions against settlers. But can I make a really important point here?
One of your guests has accused me of uttering a mistruth. I am giving him the opportunity to correct.
Matt, keep shouting.
Can we just have one voice at a time, please? Joe O'Brien, you say that the sanctions are against a certain select group of settlers.
Yeah, so that was the answer to the question. I want to make a really important point here. Trade with Israel at an EU level should stop.
Yes.
And that is the most important thing. The Occupied Territories Bill will have an impact, but trade should stop. In terms of what that state has backed and done over the last year, it's absolutely reprehensible. We shouldn't be trading with them full stop.
Trading with them is because the parties that you're in government with signed the EU-Israel Association Agreement when Israel was in breach of international law.
Could I just say one thing in terms of the... Because we've got diverted from the Trump victory. The Trump victory would be utterly disastrous on so many other levels. For Ukraine, where he would effectively facilitate Putin's brutal invasion. On climate, we do have to leave it there. Women's rights and so much more. So I think we just have to be mindful of that when we're discussing the US election too.
Okay, we want to have a look at some of the election issues here as well. Apart from the one we just discussed, we will get back to more election issues after this.
Saturday with Colm O'Mungon on RTE Radio 1.